Father, praise we God. Bless your name tonight again. Father, we say thanks to you for the fact that we are here in your presence and we can feel your presence with us. We look to you tonight, Lord God, that you will be glorified from your people. We pray, Lord God, that you will impart knowledge to us tonight, spiritual knowledge, so that we'll be able to identify the things of God. We look to you for the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit upon every single one of us who are here in this meeting. Those who will listen, those who will take part in the course of make contributions by question or statement, we just give you the glory and the praise for every single individual. We thank you for the platform that you have provided whereby we can lift up your name. Not only we who are here in this meeting, but we are alive by way of the website that you have created, Lord. We are able to reach people all over the world with this ministry. And they will read it after we are finished once it is on the website. And Lord God, by your blessed Holy Spirit, we are convinced that you will minister to somebody from what is going to be said tonight and what will go on the website. We thank you, Lord God, that you are building your church, as you said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we see the creative ways in which you have arranged things so that your words will reach all countries in the world. You declare already that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. And Lord, we see the different ways in which you are making this come to pass. And we worship you for the prophecy that is being fulfilled in that direction. And as it happens, Lord God, we know that you are saving soul for your kingdom. And to you be the glory, to you be the praise, and to you be the honor. Thank you that you have selected us to play this part in the building of your church. We here in this church, the Apostolic Church in America, oh Lord, our voices are being heard in so many different places as we lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we pray that you will help us, that we will continue to do so as you give us the breath, the opportunity, and the wisdom to be able to call your name and to let others know that there is a man called Jesus.
Jesus.
Who died on Calvary.
Jesus.
To redeem us from our sins.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And thank you for what your word said to us. As we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
For taking us out in that time of worship and praise. And each time you come, my sister, we look forward to hear you as we pool our voices and our thoughts together and we give him the glory that he deserves. Bless the Lord. Tonight, as I've said before, is Bible studies night. It's the last Bible study for the month of March. Last Bible study for the month of March. And so we are hoping that we will finish Acts chapter 11 and we will pick up Acts chapter 12 come April to give God the glory and to give him the praise that he deserves. It has been a good ride up until now. We are studying the book of Acts under the general theme, the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. That's the general theme that we are studying the book of Acts under. As we look and see the way in which the Holy Spirit worked in the early church to to build the church from the start. As we look and see the different challenges that the church faces in its early stage, and the way in which the Holy Ghost is able to steer the church from danger, and what the enemy thought that you would have used to kill the work, the Holy Spirit used it to advance the work. What a mighty God, what a God of wisdom that we serve.
Hallelujah.
Different areas, yes, as we look on and see where the church should have fallen under, the Holy Spirit used it and elevate the work, so that tonight we here can have the scriptures to work with, to glorify God and to learn more of Him. And more important than that, that we are saved, we are Christians, we are believers, we are part of the body of Christ through the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. We give God the glory tonight to know that we can be called the children of God, as we come together to celebrate Jesus in this fashion and to look and to see
what
the scripture.
Hallelujah.
To Him be the glory, to Him be the praise, to Him praise. Be the honor. We will continue to worship Him as we go forward in the blessed name of our Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise in addition God. To all that, we are glad tonight to have with us also Sister Bennett. Sister Bennett, who have been reading the scriptures for us in most of our Bible studies tonight. She is here tonight again to do just that. And we're going to ask her if she will just read to us Acts chapter 11 from verse 19 to the end, as we follow her in the King James Version. Bless the Lord, Sister Bennett.
Praise the Lord for having me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. 30 and last verse, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sister Bennett, for reading to us that precious portion of God's word. And to God be the glory, my sister, and continue to read God's word and to bless God's people. We are glad to know that we have come to this section of the study where we are about to finish Acts chapter 11, and we will certainly in the next time that we come here for Bible study go into chapter 12 as we see what the Lord continues to do there in the early church. So we are glad tonight to know that we are in the final stages of chapter 11, and if there's a theme that runs through chapter 11, it is the Gentiles and the Jews receive equally the word of God. That is what we find right throughout the book, the chapter of 11, Acts chapter 11. And so we're going to look on that, some more of that tonight as we study the word of the Lord. But let me first say a very, very pleasant good evening to all of us who are here. And we are certainly glad, the Apostolic Church in America is certainly glad to have you with us tonight, sharing in this Bible studies. And we trust that as we study this portion of God's word, something will be revealed to you by the blessed Holy Spirit. And I know that there are many of you here who understand the scriptures very well. And we bless God for you. And that knowledge that you have, I believe that the Lord didn't just give it to you. The Lord gave it to you for you to share it. And I'm going to ask you if there's a thought that came to you through the reading of the passage that Sister Bennett just did, or you read it by yourself and you'd like to share part of it with us, please feel free to do so when the time comes. We look forward to have that fellowship together. Once again, a very pleasant good evening to all of us. And if you're here for the first time, we especially give God thanks for you, knowing that we would love to have you with us again as we share in God's word from time to time. One Tuesday night, we are doing Bible studies. The other Tuesday night, we'll be doing prayer meeting. And the fourth Tuesday night, on the last Tuesday night of every month, we are going to have what is called the Evangelical Service, a service that is designed to reach out to those who are yet to come into the kingdom of God, that they might come in and be part of this wonderful body of Christ. We look forward to that next week, and we are inviting you from now to be part of that service, as we would lift up the Lord Jesus in that fashion. So, but for this week, it will be the last Bible study for this month, and let's share it together as we look to the Lord. Remember now, there are two thoughts that we would like to share in tonight, and I just want you to get a little time to think about them. The first one is to be found in verse 23. Where it says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, Barnabas, when the disciples sent Barnabas down to Antioch, when he got down there, he said he saw the grace of God. What does he mean? What does that mean? That he saw the grace of God. I just want to hear your thoughts on it, that he saw the grace of God. You know, when we talk about the grace of God, we're talking about the unmerited favor of God. But what is it exactly that Barnabas saw in the believers as he was sent down there from the headquarter church in Jerusalem? The second thought that we would like to kind of share on tonight, just to hear your thought, your thinking. Why is it that the disciples were called Christians at Antioch? It's the first time that word is going to be used in the Bible. Three times the word Christians is used in the Bible, and this is the first of the three. And so the question to us is, why is it that they were called Christians at Antioch? So there are two things that we are going to look on together, and I just want to hear your thoughts on them as we go forward. But let me continue where we left off the last time, and that is, you will remember what we discovered. We discovered that there was a sense of biasness among the disciples in regards to who it is that gets salvation. We first discover that Peter, all these years, he was carrying a sort of biasness about him. And for that, he was rather surprised when God showed him a sheet with all different type of animal in there, clean and unclean. And God told him that he must rise, kill, and eat. And his reply was that he has not eaten nothing that is common or unclean. But the Lord did say to him, whatever I have cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean. Then he discovered that the Lord was speaking not only about animal, but the Lord was actually speaking about people. And it was a direct charge to him because of the vastness that he entertained over the years. And the Lord would use that to break that vastness in Peter to the extent that he himself confessed and said, God is no respecter of persons. He has received his healing as a result of that encounter with the Lord. And from that moment, he embraced the Gentiles, whom at one point they did not consider to be a part of the revelation that God has given. But now, because the Lord has revealed himself to him in such a fashion, he was healed on the inside, and he embraced the Gentile community to the extent that he entered into Cornelius' house, ate with him, and he discovered also that the Holy Ghost fell on them as how the Holy Ghost fell on him at Pentecost. So he was healed. Later on, we discover that as news reached the disciples in Jerusalem, who entertained the same biased thought, Peter was able to give his testimony as to what happened to him. And the good thing about it is that Peter, while he was giving his testimony, Peter had six witnesses with him, six men who came from Joppa to Cornelius' house and witnessed what happened. They too were with the disciples in Jerusalem with Peter as Peter gave his testimony to back up what Peter was saying, that what Peter was saying is absolutely true. And as much as the disciples were fuming in Jerusalem about Peter enter into Cornelius' house, when Peter finished explaining to them what had happened, how the Lord had used him to expound the word to the Gentile community, and the Spirit of God fell on them, and they become a part of the church too. We are told that they held their peace. They stopped warring against Peter. And they embrace also the scriptures. They embrace what the Lord did. And they too embrace the Gentiles for the fact that God has shown unto them the same breakthrough, the same application of the Spirit that they got. They discover that God has extended that to the Gentile community. So we find now that Peter was healed. The disciples in Jerusalem were healed from this biasness. And now we're going to look on those who left Jerusalem when the persecution broke out. Because the word reminded us that the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem. But all the other brethren, they left out. They left Jerusalem and went into different parts, fulfilling the scripture that Jesus prophesied in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, "Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world." They, as a result of the persecution, seeing Stephen's death and Saul threatening the disciples, every one of them left home as they were under this persecution, and they went in different paths. But they did not just stop there. They went there and continued to proclaim the word of God. Only the disciples were left in Jerusalem. And so we see the healing took place in Peter. We saw the healing took place in the disciples that were in Jerusalem. But what about those who had to leave town as a result of the persecution? They are the ones we're going to focus on tonight and to see whether or not they too receive any form of healing as these frontline disciples did. And so for that, we pick up at 19, where we start reading from tonight. Verse 19, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. It read this way. "Now they which were scattered," as I've said to you, they're scattered from Jerusalem. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travel as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Listen to that part of it. They were preaching the word. But the Bible is careful tonight by reminding us or informing us that they were preaching to the Jews only. The same thing, the same mindset that Peter had. The same mindset that the disciples in Jerusalem had. Here are those who were scattered abroad as a result of the persecution, preach the word, but to none other than the Jews only. Mm-hmm. You know, this reminds me of something that the Lord said over here in Matthew 28. Let me read something to you that the Lord said in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and I read from verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 18, Jesus speaking to the disciples. Verse 18 said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We back down there, after Jesus was resurrected, he informed his disciples, that they must go out and preach the word of God to all nations. Not only the Jewish community, but all nations, the Lord said, should receive the word of God. How is it that after so many years, the disciples still confine themselves to ministering the word of God to the Jews alone? As we have seen in verse 9 here, that they preach the word of God only to the Jews. How is it that that happens? And he took a dramatic approach from God in order to convince Peter that a change needs to be made, a change needs to come into the ministering of God's word to the people. And God showed him how that change should come about in a dramatic fashion. And as a result of him being changed and healed, he conveyed that to the other disciples. They too received the change. Praise God. But to those who went overseas, they continued to preach the gospel to none other but the Jews. But we are not stopping on verse 19. We are going on to verse 20. Listen to what verse 20 said. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. We are going to stop there for a minute. Thank God for some of them. Thank God tonight for some of them. And may I say, before we go into Antioch, that one of those seven deacons that were called in Acts chapter 6, let me read Acts chapter 6 verse 4 and 5. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministering of the word. That is the disciples saying, seek out some men who will be able to serve the people so that the distribution of the food will be done properly. And they said that they will, in the meantime, instead of serving the people, doing that part of the work, these deacons will be able to minister to the people. So listen to verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Pashiras and Nikana and Timion and Permias and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. This is where I really want to reach. Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So we find here that somebody from Antioch was named among the deacon chosen in Acts 6 in order to serve the people of the church. He was a proselyte, meaning he was a Gentile. He was a Gentile and he converted to Judaism. And he was in the church. And he is one who was chosen to serve the people. He was from Antioch. And the reason why I go there is because of the importance of verse 20. And I read it again. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And as I said to you, thank God for some of them. Because the others went on their merry way, preaching only to the Jews. But here we find these two brethren from the church. They went into Antioch, a pagan community, a Gentile community, and they preached the Lord Jesus. Here we find at least these two brethren were healed of their biasness too. We find Peter was healed. We find the brethren at Jerusalem were healed. And now we find these two brothers. They too were healed by the fact that they include their ministry to the Gentiles. The Grecian is considered to be Jews who have been brought up overseas and learned the Greek language. But they were Jews. But beyond this set here, this Grecian here, these two disciples used the opportunity to minister to the Gentiles in Antioch about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we are saying tonight, and some of them, it is important to know that the Lord opened the eyes and the mind of these disciples, and they not only confined their ministry to the Jews, but they involve the Gentiles as well. Now this brother who is from Antioch, who was selected as one of the deacons over Acts 6, we're not told as to whether or not he was one of them that came back to Antioch and ministered. We're not told clearly whether or not he had returned to Antioch to minister. But surely, we are told here that at least two of them, who came from the persecution, end up in Antioch preaching the word of God, not only to the Jews that were born overseas, but also to the Gentile community, realizing that they have received the same Spirit that was demonstrated in Cornelius' house. And the same spirit that after Peter finished giving his testimony had reached the heart of the disciples in Jerusalem, that same spirit directed these disciples to minister to the Gentile community just like how Peter did in Cornelius' house. What a change. What a change happened as a result of that. And verse 21 tells us something. And the hand, as a result of that effort, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers believe and turn unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a result of them preaching the word of God to the wider community, the Gentile, the hand of the Lord was upon the word, was upon the effort. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Lord turned the effort into great things to the extent that great number believe and turn unto the Lord. Now, let me say this to all of us. Antioch was not so much a place where they received the gospel without opposition. Antioch was a rough place before they start ministering there. It is a place where that was indulging idol worship. It's a place where prostitution was running wild. It's a place where immoral behavior rules the day. It's a place where it was more advanced in commerce and all the other things, more than many other cities in its surrounding. Antioch was considered an important location. And therefore, the word of God come under heavy opposition right there as a result of these things that were just mentioned. But by the blessed Holy Spirit, we are told here that the hand of the Lord was upon them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And many turn to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then to all of us here tonight, that regardless of how difficult the area might appear, as long as the Lord is involved in the effort that is being made, changes can come. People can get saved. The Lord will work with his servants to bring about a change in the hearts of people. We discover that Antioch, as a result of these brethren who went there to minister, Antioch, the Bible, when you read the Bible, you discover that Antioch become an important hub in the spreading of the gospel. Antioch become central as far as the location of Christianity was concerned. Many great preachers were born out of Antioch. Many great things happened in Antioch spiritually. Because what? Somebody, some young men, some people decide that they are not going to hold this gospel to the Jews alone. Instead, they are going to open it up to the Gentile community, which was on the books long ago in the heart of God, when he said, go into all nations and preach this gospel. And tonight we find that these brethren went into Antioch and they ministered according to the word of God. Bless God. Bless God. And it is interesting that the work in Antioch was not started by the apostles. Not by the apostles. It started by just the brethren who ran for their lives from Jerusalem. But it was backed up by the Holy Ghost. It was backed up by the blessed Holy Spirit in the heart and lives of the brethren. The work starts in Antioch and blossoms, hallelujah, and it becomes a central hub to the development of the Word of God throughout that particular era. How great God is. How much He is steering His own business. Hallelujah. They thought that Stephen's death would kill the church. But instead, Stephen's death elevates the church. Elevates the church. The brethren spread all over the place and start a work in Antioch that we will hear so much of as we continue to read the book of Acts. And if you continue to read the rest of the Old Testament, New Testament as well, especially in Galatians, you will hear Antioch mentioned so much as to what happened there as a result of these men went in there and preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And so what we find here is that news is always getting to Jerusalem. You remember that the news got to the apostles in Jerusalem, what Peter did, how Peter went into Cornelius' house. And now again, we are seeing where news reached the brethren in Jerusalem, the apostles in Jerusalem, about what happened in Antioch, what is taking place in Antioch. And let us see what happened when the news reached them in Jerusalem.
It said Barnabas.
Verse 22 said, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Hallelujah. Here comes Barnabas again.
In Antioch.
Here comes Barnabas again, church. We spend some time talking about Barnabas in the past. We talk about Barnabas' generosity, how he saw the need for the church that is in Acts chapter 4. And he went and he sold his possession and he brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet for them to use it to take care of the young converts that came into the church. Nobody told him to do it. He was only following the leading of the Holy Ghost. And he did it, and it was an outstanding gesture. And that money helped the young church so that nobody was in need of anything. Compliment of Barnabas. Hallelujah. And we're seeing the brother. We're seeing the brother again. When Saul got saved and was fearful in going to Jerusalem and presenting himself to the apostles, Barnabas took Saul and introduced him to the brethren in Jerusalem. Because they were very, very suspicious of him. And he too was afraid of them as well. And Barnabas filled the gap by presenting Saul to the apostles in Jerusalem and said to them, don't have any opposition towards this man, because the Lord has saved him. And not only that, the Lord has saved him, I heard him preach in Damascus. I heard him minister unto the Lord in Damascus after his conversion. And he is now a genuine article. He belongs to the church. And Barnabas accompanied the apostle. And as a result of that, they show some interest in Saul. The complement of Barnabas. And here we have Barnabas' service again. He being with the church in Jerusalem, he was there when Peter came back from his encounter with Cornelius. He was there listening to what Peter was saying, even though his feeling was not on the side of the other apostles. But he was there, he listened, and he heard what Peter said. And no news has reached Jerusalem again that Antioch has received the gospel. And what do? They find an ambassador. They found an ambassador in the person of Barnabas. What a worthwhile ambassador that is. Nobody would fit this situation better than Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch to find out, to assess what was taking place there, and to make recommendation to the church in Jerusalem about what he has found and what he perceived to be right or wrong. Nobody could be better sent into Antioch than Barnabas. Oh Lord, the spirit of the brother is outstanding. Mm-hmm. And this brings us to where we're going to open up the phone line for the first time tonight, as we look on verse 23. When Barnabas, it reads like this, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that they with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. That is where we will open up the phone for the first time tonight, as we try to find out what is it that Barnabas saw that he declared when he saw the grace of God. He was glad. What did he saw? Church, what did Barnabas saw that caused him to make this statement? Yes.
Well,
when he saw the grace of God. But what is the grace of God on display among the brethren? What is it?
As you mentioned before, you said Antioch was a terrible place. And then he went and saw how those two men preached Christ and the people turned their hearts towards God. He was pleased to see how the people accepted Jesus Christ, because as you said before, the place was full of prostitution and all kind of wickedness. and to see how the people receive the word of God and turn their lives over to Jesus. So he was pleased with the two men, the two disciples who went there and preached Christ, and the people accepted and gave their life unto the Lord.
Very good, Sister Bennett. Very good. Very good. Very good. He was pleased with the conversion, the result of the conversion, what he saw there. He was absolutely pleased, Sister Bennett. And as a result of that, he was glad, as the word tells us right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's leaving, he left Jerusalem. And he's going into this pagan community. And he don't know exactly how or what he is going to see. All that happened is that they heard that things were taking place here. And the disciples sent him as an ambassador, representing the church in Jerusalem, to find out what was taking place. And as you rightly said, Sister Bennett, it is when he saw how the conversion of the brethren was in an environment that was hostile to Christianity. But when he saw them, he was glad. Thank you for that observation, Sister Bennett. But I'm sure somebody else have some other thought that they would like to share. What Sister Bennett has just given her thought on what she perceived that Barnabas saw. Is there anything else that we can say is there that Barnabas saw?
Talking about the environment, Pastor, and these people who got saved. The grace of God, we're talking about the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace of God that delivers people from bondage and from all these things that these people were practicing or had in their lives. Grace of God is God's unmerited favor, and God poured out that grace upon these people. And then when Barnabas came down and saw the grace of God, which is the grace of God comes also with the power of the Holy Ghost, and he saw all the things, the works that the Lord had done there. He was so glad, and he exhorted them. The word exhorted means to encourage them, and encourage them to continue in the word, the preaching. The word is the word that is doing all of this, and the Holy Ghost. And he encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. I love the word cleave every time I see it in the Bible. Cleave to the Lord with all your heart. Just absorb all these things. And what I like about it, it talks about that Barnabas was a good man and he was full of the Holy Ghost. And much meat was added to the Lord. And then, as you mentioned, Barnabas asked for Saul, and Saul came. They spent a whole year there teaching the people. And many were added to the church, and they were all called Christians. And I believe they were called Christians because they were so Christ-like. I mean, the word of God changes people. You're not what you were before.
Yeah,
it changes people. And total, you know, as the scripture says, you become a new creature. So, and you know what came into my mind, Pastor, also in Acts 4, I think it was, you remember those, the disciples that followed Jesus, and Yes. It said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So these people is not your education, it's the power of the word and the Holy Ghost that bring about all these miracles, and I believe that is how these people in Antioch received the word of God also, and were so Christ-like that they call them Christians.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you very much for that well-thought observation, Sister Barbara, because you have covered quite a bit there. To the extent that I don't know if anybody really will have anything else to add based on what you have just said, because I think you covered it all. But nonetheless, is there somebody else of another thought that they would like to share here on top of what Sister Barbara has just said? Because we're trying to open up this thing as wide as possible. You know, I am taken up with what the way in which it was said. When he saw the grace of God, he was glad. Sister Barbara went into great detail a while ago to express what that grace meant, and Sister Bennett expressed to us that is based on the conversion, the salvation that people receive in an hostile environment that caused him to utter that statement. But it is all of that and more. It is all of that and more. It is a people who, when Barnabas came, Barnabas saw something that reminded him of when they were together without those who went overseas as a result of the persecution. When he sold what he sold and brought the money and put it before the apostles, the fellowship of the believers together. I believe that what Barnabas saw there is what he knew the church had in the early stage when he was converted. Barnabas saw the grace of God manifested in God's love among the believers. The manifestation of God's love. Barnabas saw believers loving one another. Barnabas saw the mercy of God upon the believers that were there, demonstrating the fact that they should care for one another. Barnabas saw kindness among the believers that is not pretense, kindness that generates from a heart of deliverance. Barnabas saw among the brethren peace. There is a peace, there's a calmness, there is a quietness among the brethren that comes only from a changed heart, from the Spirit of God. Barnabas discovered that among them. He saw among them the searching, the sharing, the caring. And he also saw where they were thirsty for more of God. He saw where he saw a people who were hungry to get more of God. Hungry. Jesus, you remember what the Lord said in the Beatitude. Blessed are they who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Barnabas saw a set of hungry people, hungry for more of God. Hungry. And he considered, this is the grace of God. And this is how the grace of God manifests itself. He saw where people was loving one another. And people were caring for one another. Brethren, I want to tell you this, that every time that we meet a church, every time we meet a church, let the grace of God be seen among us. Let the grace, the manifestation of God's grace be seen among us as believers. Let us love one another. Let us care for one another. Let us support one another. Let us just express the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, to one another. That's what Barnabas has seen as he went down to Antioch, can be seen among us too. I think Sunday last in church, we have exhibited quite a bit of this that Barnabas would have seen. I believe that the brethren who came together Sunday in that building in Miami has expressed a level of love and caring for one another that I have not seen for a long time. And I believe this is how the church is supposed to operate. We should demonstrate the Spirit of God among us. Let it manifest itself in so many different ways among us. So that God be glorified and God be praised. Because he is worthy to be praised. I like it. I love it. I love what the brother said. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Consider that the biasness that the disciples used to have has disappeared, at least from this quarter. And it is all love between Jews and Gentiles. Hallelujah! A different atmosphere, a different setting. The church is coming into its own because of the Spirit of the Lord. Jews and Gentiles mingling and loving one another because of the man called Jesus. Barnabas saw it, and Barnabas was glad. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. That's how we are, church. That's how we're supposed to be. That's how we are supposed to operate as believers in Christ.
And Pastor, that is exactly what you're doing. Pastor, that is what you're doing, just like Barnabas. When you see something like that, like even right now, he's exhorting them, encouraging them to continue.
Yes.
I love the word exhorted, because he didn't just be glad and just leave them. He encouraged them, continue in the things that, this grace, this fellowship, this everything, just continue. Yeah. And he exhorted them. He's a great, great encourager. And people need encouragers in the church, Pastor. When you see something, you encourage the people. You know,
the one that is called the Son of Consolation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what church is all about. Love one another. Every church should manifest this level of commitment to one another, so that when we see each other, it is nothing else but love that comes only from Jesus. And it is called the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy.
Good teachers, sir. Good teachers, full of the Holy Ghost and faith.
Yes. And verse 24, back that up, Sister Barbara. Verse 24 says, for he was a good man.
Full of
and
the Holy Ghost.
Full of the Holy Ghost. And faith.
Mm-hmm.
And much people were added unto the Lord. You can see the role that the brother plays. The tremendous role the brother plays in bringing the people closer together in the Lord. In the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe the work of Barnabas should be the work of all of us as individuals. We should take this on as our responsibility in order to express joy, gladness, and love and encouragement to the other brother, to the other sister.
Yeah.
How refreshing it was Sunday to see the sister brought food. The brother brought food. And we all have fellowship together as we partake of it. And we were glad. Hallelujah. The effort that they went through to get these material into the church Sunday. So that all of us could be fed and all of us could rejoice together. My God, this is what Jesus wanted the church to be. A caring church.
The church, the believers, verse 29 and 30 is what you're talking about now, Pastor. Because there was a famine in Jerusalem.
That's another thing. And we will touch on that like a move, Sister Barbara. But you see the arch of the believers? There was a famine in another place. And the heart of the believer decided to pool the resources together in order to help out somewhere. And who it is that brought the things that they put together to help out the other place where the famine was? Who it is
Barnabas.
That brought those things? Barnabas and Paul.
Barnabas and Saul.
Barnabas again. What an outstanding brother. What an outstanding brother in the church. Oh my God. Praise God for Barnabas. Praise God for the spirit of Barnabas. And I'm looking forward to see more of this type of spirit in the church. More like what we saw there on Sunday. Demonstrating in the church that we are part of one another. No wonder the songwriter playing the line, we can work together in Jesus' name. Everybody smile. Jesus loves you. Let us greet somebody in Jesus' name. Let us tell them that we love them in Jesus' name. Tell them we can work together in Jesus' name. And this is what happened there in Antioch. As they work together and build the church, and the company of people increase considerably. And I before we finish here, I just like to, we're going to come to the question of Christians in a little while. But I just like what I see here. Verse 25 says, then depart Barnabas to Tarsus, far to seek Saul. Now, in the midst of this revival, as Barnabas came down from Jerusalem, along and joined on with the brethren that were there, in the midst of this ingathering of people into the church at Antioch, Barnabas said to himself, It could have been the Holy Spirit who whispered to him. He said, you need help. He said, you need help. Let me tell you, there are different times in the life of a church when the leader needs help. The leader needs help. I'm glad that God has sent Pastor Daly into the Apostolic Church in America to really help us. I'm thanking God every day for this. Pastor Fiani is all the way in Georgia, and Pastor Fiani do what he does in a limited fashion. But God sees where the Apostolic Church in America needed somebody to fill the gap, as Pastor Fiani is not able to function the way in which he would have liked if he was here. And God directed a man, a Hebrew man, a loving man, a man that I describe as a man who have the spirit of Barnabas.
Amen.
To come over and help us. And look what Barnabas did. In the midst of this breakout, spiritually, Barnabas decided, said, I know a man who would fit into this perfectly.
And carry the work forward.
He told his colleague, I am going to Tarsus to find Saul. This is wisdom. This is wisdom on display. And he went down to, by this time, it's about 10 years have passed since Saul went down to Tarsus. And Barnabas remember that he was the one who presented him to the disciples. And for the sake of Saul's own life, at one point they tell him that he should go and hang out in Tarsus. And all these years pass. And here comes Barnabas realizing that the church, the work, need a man like this. And he went down to Tarsus. And he found Saul. And he brought Saul into Antioch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you think the church was growing? No, the church started to grow. Now the church start to grow. Because after 1 year, spreading the gospel, preaching, teaching among the brethren, the company blossomed. Antioch becomes the center of the Christian hub. From there, missionaries are going to be sent. And who is the man at the center there? A man called Barnabas. Full of the Holy Ghost. And he was full of faith as well. And I would like us to just give me your thought on verse 26. Before we close here. Verse 26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What is your thought? Why is it that they were called Christians at Antioch? Sister Barbara gave her reason in her thought to us. What is your thought? Why is it that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch? This is one of three times the word Christian is used in the Bible. Why do you think they were called Christians? Thank you. Today, we're called Christians. Just like what Sister Barbara said. Because they behave Christ-like. But I have news for the church this evening. When they were called Christians, it was not a complimentary call, description. It was a mockery.
Mm-hmm.
To be called Christians then, as they were first called there, it was a mockery. It was a title that was degrading.
Derogatory.
In the art of those who first mention of it. And they thought that they were insulting all of those who fit this title. And it went on for quite a long time. And at first, the disciples actually bumps the title. Because even the Apostle Paul, before King Agrippa, Acts 26, 28, Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." That is the second time that it's been used. The word is being used. King Agrippa, throwing that at Paul, was saying to him, "Look, you almost persuade me to become a fanatic just like you." The word Christian was not at first given as a compliment. It was a mockery. But after years passed, the disciples, the followers of God, decide to wear it as a badge of honor. A badge of honor. Realizing that to be identified with Jesus is the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing, the greatest title that they could possibly have. What was presented for us as a sense of mockery has now become a badge of honor. Listen to what Peter said. Listen to what Peter said in regards to this, which is the second time that this is going to be used. 1 Peter chapter 4:16. Yes. Listen to what Peter said. In fact, I have to read more for you to get the understanding. So I'll read from verse 12, go down, for you to get the understanding as to what Peter is saying. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery darts, which is to try you as though some strange things has happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a blasphemer, or a busybody, or in other men's matters." And this is the verse now. If any man suffer as a Christian, third time the word is going to be used in the Bible, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So Peter wrote this letter to the church and said, "Look, church, put up pull up your belt. Don't take the word Christian as an insult. Don't take the word Christian as a mockery. Wear it as a badge of honor. If any man suffer as a Christian, he declare to them. Let them rejoice. Let them not be ashamed, but let them glorify God on this behalf. Peter wrote the church, encouraging them not to feel any way when they are called Christian, but instead to give God the glory, to give God the praise, and to give God the honor. It was first introduced as a mockery because they said that anybody following Jesus are fanatics. But now it has been worn as a badge of honor, and Peter is exhorting the church to take it as a badge of honor to be called a Christian. Tonight we bless the Lord and give God thanks for the fact that we can be so called Christians, onward Christian soldiers, marching on to war with a royal banner. We wear the name with pride today because of who we are, it is connected to the man called Jesus. And yes, we are to behave Christ-like. We are to behave like him. When Barnabas went down to Antioch, when he saw the grace of God, he saw people who were behaving Christ-like.
Pastor and Paul said, follow me, the same Saul. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes.
Christ is our example.
Yes. 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 Bless the Lord. And so we find out that the whole chapter of Acts 11 speaks to the unification of Jews and Gentiles. And what a wonderful way to top it off here, with Barnabas coming. And Barnabas found Saul, and the church flourished with the Gentiles, and the Gentiles and Jews mingled together, and it was one happy family in Antioch. We're going to hear more about Antioch as we continue the book of Acts. But let us give God thanks for the fact that he worked out his own purpose. Thank God for the work of the blessed Holy Spirit directing everything. And we find that the barrier between Jews and Gentiles was broken because of the involvement of the blessed Holy Spirit.
Changing of characters, Pastor.
The changing of characters, my sister. Hallelujah. Changing of characters. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we realize that we belong to one another in the body of Christ, that makes all the difference. It means that we will seek out for one another.
Yes, sir.
We will love one another. We will glorify one because Jesus is our source. And we give him the glory. We give him the praise that is due to him. Sorry, I can't go on a little bit longer because I could talk about Agabus, the prophet, that came into Antioch, and he prophesied about the drought. But you're going to hear the name Agabus again. And when we hear the name Agabus again, we will come back to this section here. Somewhere along the line, Agabus' name is going to surface again. So we give God praise. We give God the glory for what he has revealed to us tonight. And we trust that when we go to 12, we will see something else unfold that involves also the blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you very much, and the Lord bless you, and we look forward to the next study.